All right, strap in everyone, because today we are going deep on a case that really, I mean, really shook up the world of election law.
You talking Washington State Grange?
That's the one. Washington State Grange v. Washington State Republican Party. This isn't just like, you know, lawyers arguing about boring legal stuff.
Oh, absolutely not.
This gets right to the heart of the power struggle between states running elections and the rights of political parties.
Yeah, this case is a straight up First Amendment showdown.
Big stake.
To really get what's going on here, we need to understand the system that's causing all the drama.
Washington's top two primaries.
You got it.
So, okay, imagine you're a voter. You're in Washington State, you're looking at a primary ballot, you see a bunch of candidates, and they can say what party they prefer.
Right.
But the top two vote-getters, no matter what party they like, those are the two that move on to the general election.
Exactly. And that right there, seemingly simple, right?
Seems simple.
That little setup started a whole firestorm. Like, picture a giant audition, tons of people, and only the two best singers make it through. Doesn't matter what kind of music they sing.
Makes sense.
The Republican, Democratic, and Libertarian parties, all three,
they
cried foul.
Really?
Big time. Mm. Arguing this whole top two thing, it stepped all over their First Amendment rights.
Okay, yeah, I'm starting to see where this is going. But what specifically were they so upset about? Were they just, like, being difficult, or were there real constitutional problems with this system?
Oh, no, they had serious, serious concerns. Like, one big argument, they said this top two could let any candidate just use their party's name on the ballot, even without the party actually endorsing them.
Oh, I get it. Like someone crashing your party and pretending to be your best friend.
Exactly.
So the parties felt like they were being forced into these, what, relationships they didn't want with candidates they maybe didn't even support?
Totally. That's got to be frustrating.
Yeah, that's rough. What else were they worried about?
So another big one, voter confusion. Their argument was voters might see a candidate saying they prefer this or that party and think, oh, that means the party officially endorsed this person.
I see. So it's like you see a product, it's got a brand name you recognize, mm-hmm. but then you get it and it's like a cheap knockoff.
Exactly.
You feel tricked.
Totally.
I can see how that would mess up the party's ability to control their message, like their image.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. In the beginning, the parties actually won in the lower courts.
Oh, wow.
Both the district court and the Ninth Circuit, they sided with the parties. Like, yeah, these concerns about forced association, voter confusion, those are legit.
So sounds like a clear win. Case closed.
Well, not so fast. This case, I mean, it was huge EE, so it ended up at the Supreme Court.
Of course.
And things took a huge E-turn.
Really?
Oh, yeah. 7-2 decision.
Wow.
The court completely flipped, sided with Washington State, and said top two is fine.
Plot twist. That is a huge swing. Okay, break it down for me. What was the Supreme Court's thinking in overturning the lower courts? Why did seven justices say top two is okay?
All right, so the majority opinion, it was written by Justice Thomas, and it all came down to this idea of a facial challenge. So think of it like this. A law that says no shirt, no shoes, no service. If you want to challenge that law,
yeah.
A facial challenge, you got to prove that law is always unconstitutional, even if you are wearing shoes.
Oh, so it's not enough to say, well, this law could be unfair in some cases. You got to prove it's impossible for it to ever be constitutional.
Exactly. High bar to clear.
Yeah.
And Justice Thomas, he used that same logic for the top two system. He said, yeah, there might be some burdens on the parties because of this system, but they're not bad enough to throw the whole thing out.
So he was saying, look, the parties can still endorse candidates on their own, separate from the primary. They're not totally powerless.
Right. And he wasn't convinced about the voter confusion argument either. He called it, like, speculative,
mm-hmm.
said there wasn't any real evidence. It was like the court saying, show me the receipts. Don't just tell me this might happen. Show me where it actually did.
So the Supreme Court basically said, go back and find some hard proof if you want us to change our minds.
Basically. And we should mention, this case, it had some similarities to an earlier one. California Democratic Party v. Jones.
Uh-huh.
That one was about California's blanket primary. The court struck that one down back in 2000.
Right. But I'm guessing there's a key difference that explains why the court ruled differently this time.
You got it. The big difference is that California's system, it let people from outside a party help choose that party's nominees. Imagine Democrats getting to pick the Republican candidate.
Oh, wow.
The court saw that as a huge problem, like interfering with a party's internal business.
Okay, so in Washington, anyone can vote in the primary, but they don't get to decide who the parties officially pick.
Right.
It's like being able to try all the food at a buffet, but you don't get to decide what's on the menu.
Perfect analogy. And that small difference, it was huge GE for the Quark. It meant Washington's system didn't overstep by trying to control who the parties had to support. That was a big no-no in the California case.
Gotcha. So this little distinction was the game changer. It gave the court the space to say, hey, this Washington system, it's not perfect, but it's not a constitutional disaster either.
Exactly. They saw it as a way for Washington to run its elections without totally crushing the party's right to choose their own candidates. But there's more to the story. Like a lot of big decisions, there were some dissenting voices.
Okay, I'm ready for the dissenting voices. Let's hear how they complicate things.
Well, seven justices agreed with the main decision, but we had some interesting concurrences and dissents that added some spice.
Okay, who was raising red flags?
Chief Justice Roberts, he agreed with upholding the law, but he issued a bit of a warning. He emphasized that how the ballot is designed, that's super important.
So even if the law itself is okay, the way it's shown to voters could still be a problem.
Totally. Roberts was worried that if the ballot made it seem like a party endorsed a candidate when they didn't, that could be grounds for another challenge later. Like he was saying, be careful, states. You might have gotten lucky this time, but don't get cocky.
So it's not just the legal technicalities. It's making sure the system, in practice, actually respects the party's right to, like, control their image, their message.
Exactly. Then we have Justice Scalia. He went even further and wrote a whole dissenting opinion. He was not on board at all.
All right, let's hear it. What were Scalia's big issues with Top 2? What didn't he like?
He felt like this system basically let candidates steal a party's trademark by saying they prefer that party without having a real connection to it. Remember, trademarks, those are like the symbols companies protect so fiercely, the Apple logo, the Nike swoosh.
Right, so for political parties, their name and image, that's kind of like their brand, their trademark. It shows what they stand for.
Precisely. And Scalia said, letting candidates just slap that trademark on the ballot without a real endorsement, it watered down the party's control over their own brand. Like someone selling fake Nikes and saying they're the real deal.
I see what he means. So for Scalia, this wasn't just some abstract legal thing. It was about protecting the party's identity, preventing them from being misrepresented to the public.
Exactly. And he really criticized the state's argument that the system promoted nonpartisanship. He thought that was a weak excuse, basically saying the state was trying to silence parties instead of just running fair elections. Like the state saying, let's just get rid of all these annoying parties and have everyone run as individuals.
So for Scalia, this was about protecting the role of parties in a democracy.
Right. He saw this as the state wanting less partisanship, but ending up stomping on the party's right to free association, which he thought was a dangerous precedent.
Okay, so we have this 7-2 decision, Top 2 is upheld, but with serious cautions about how it's done and fundamental disagreements about state power versus party rights. So where does that leave us? What does all this mean for the future of primary elections and how parties do things?
Well, this case doesn't totally shut down challenges to similar systems. Like we said, the court left room for what are called as-applied challenges.
Wait, explain that one. What's an as-applied challenge and how is it different?
Sure. An as-applied challenge doesn't attack the law itself. It focuses on how it's actually being used in real life. Remember how the court wanted to see evidence of voter confusion? An as-applied challenge, that's how you bring that evidence.
So it's like saying, the law on paper might be fine, but look how it's messing things up in reality. We got to fix this.
Exactly. And that's why Chief Justice Roberts' concurrence is so important. It highlights how states got to be super careful about how they make their ballots. Make sure voters really understand what party preference means. They can't just assume it'll all work out perfectly.
It's like those tricky terms and conditions nobody reads. You think you're getting one thing, but the fine print says something different.
You got it.
It seems like the parties themselves might need to change their strategies too. If they can't control who uses their name on the ballot, they might have to be even more upfront about who they endorse. Make a clear distinction between preference and official support.
Absolutely. This ruling could force parties to get a lot more vocal and strategic about how they talk to voters. Avoid any mix-ups or unwanted connections.
So this Top 2 system might end up making parties tougher, more focused, more adaptable, like a survival of the fittest for politics.
That's a great way to put it. And as we see how this all plays out, it's important to watch how states design their ballots. Remember what Chief Justice Roberts said, if the ballot makes people think a party endorsed someone when they didn't, that could lead to new legal fights.
Right. The law being constitutional isn't enough. it has to be put into practice the right way too. Let's get practical for a second. Can you give some examples of what BAD ballot design would look like in this situation?
Definitely. Imagine a ballot where the candidate's party preference, it's in big bold letters right next to their name. But then any explanation that it's not an official endorsement, that's in tiny print at the bottom.
Oh, so it's hidden.
Yeah, that could easily trick voters into thinking the party is fully behind that candidate.
Like those sneaky terms and conditions nobody reads. Mm-mm. You think you're getting one thing, but the fine print tells a different story.
Exactly. Or imagine the ballot lists the top two candidates from the primary, and then in parentheses it says preferred party, Democrat, or preferred party, Republican.
Oh, I see. That wording could make people think preference is the same as a real endorsement.
Precisely. States are walking a tightrope. They need to give voters enough information to understand the system, but they also can't make it look like parties are endorsing candidates when they're not.
It's a tough balance. And it shows how important it is for voters to be informed. They need to understand these election systems and not jump to conclusions based on just what they see on the ballot.
You're absolutely right. We can't just passively look at a ballot. We need to do our research, learn about the candidates, and understand what party preference really means.
So this case isn't just some legal debate. It has real consequences for how our elections work and how we as voters participate.
Exactly. And it shows how important it is to have these conversations, to break down these legal decisions, and to understand how they shape our democracy. You know, this case, it really makes you think about what this ruling means for, like, the future of political parties themselves.
So that's interesting. Yeah. If more states start using these open primaries, like top two, do parties get weaker or do they find new ways to adapt and still have power?
It's a question that's got a lot of people thinking. Some people argue that these open systems, they could weaken parties because they don't have as much control over who's on the ballot.
Right.
And it could, like, water down their message.
It's like taking away the bouncer at the club.
Right, exactly.
Anyone can get in, even if they don't really belong there.
Right. And that could make it harder for parties to, like, show a united front to voters, especially if you have candidates who get through the primary, but they don't totally agree with the party's platform.
Okay, so that's one side, parties potentially losing some power.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the other side? How could parties actually get stronger in this new setup?
Well, some people think parties could actually become even more important with these open systems. Think about it. If anyone can run under a party's name, the party's endorsement, that becomes a really big deal.
Right.
It's like a seal of approval that helps voters figure out who the real party candidates are.
Yeah, it's like that blue check mark on social media.
Yeah.
You know, who's legit.
Exactly.
So instead of fading away, parties might get even more focused on their message, their outreach to really build their brand.
You got it. And they might get more strategic about who they pick as candidates, train them better to handle these more open primaries.
So this top two system could push parties to be tougher, more focused, better at adapting.
Yeah, like survival of the fittest in the political world.
Exactly. And while all this is happening, it's important to watch how states are designing their ballots, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because remember, Chief Justice Roberts' warning.
Yes.
If the ballot makes it look like a party endorsed someone when they didn't, that could lead to more legal challenges.
Exactly.
Okay, can you give us some examples of what BAD ballot design would look like here?
Sure. So imagine a ballot where the candidate's party preference, it's printed in huge letters right next to their name. But then any disclaimer about it not being an official endorsement, that's buried in a tiny print way at the bottom.
Like hidden, basically.
Yeah, that could easily mislead voters.
Right. It's like those terms and conditions nobody reads. You think you're getting one thing, but the fine print tells a different story.
Totally. Another example, imagine the ballot lists the top two candidates, and then next to their names it says, like, preferred party, Democrat, or preferred party, Republican.
Yeah, that could be confusing for voters. They might not understand the difference between preference and a real endorsement.
Exactly. States have to find a balance. They need to give voters enough information, but they can't make it look like parties are endorsing candidates when they aren't.
It's tricky. And
yeah,
it really shows how important it is for voters to be informed, right? They need to understand the election system and not just go by what they see on the ballot.
You're absolutely right. We can't just glance at a ballot and vote. We have to do our research, learn about the candidates, and understand what party preference really means.
So this case isn't just some abstract legal debate. it has real consequences for our elections and how we participate as voters.
Exactly. And it highlights why these conversations are so important. We need to break down these legal decisions and understand how they affect our democracy.
It's amazing how, like, one change, the top two primary, it can have such a big impact on the whole political system.
It really shows you how even when you're trying to make things better, you can get these unexpected consequences.
The unintended consequences.
Exactly.
So as we're wrapping up our deep dive into Washington State, Grange v. Washington State Republican Party,
yeah,
what are the big takeaways? What should people remember as they, you know, try to understand this whole area of law?
I think the biggest thing is the Supreme Court, for now at least, they're giving states a lot of freedom to try new things with their primaries.
Right.
But it's not like anything goes.
Right. They're saying be careful about what you do. Make sure it doesn't mess with the party's rights and try to avoid confusing voters.
Yeah. It's like they're saying you can experiment, but do it responsibly.
I like that. Innovate, but innovate responsibly.
Right. And that means really thinking about how you design the ballot, how you educate voters, how you explain these new systems so people understand.
So this case might be over, but the debate about how to balance the state's power, the party's rights, and keeping things clear for voters, that's not going away.
Absolutely not.
This case, it brings up a question I think is really interesting.
What's that?
What if parties become, like, less powerful in primaries? Will we see more independent candidates? Is that good for voters? Or does it just mean special interest groups have more influence?
That's a big question.
That is.
And we'll have to see what happens as we go through this new phase of election changes.
It really shows how these legal decisions, they're not just abstract ideas. They have real impacts on how our democracy works.
For sure.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Washington State, Grange v. Washington State Republican Party.
My pleasure.
We'll be back next time with another fascinating case that's changing the world of law.